Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus.
How's everybody doing today?
Come on, somebody. Nothing's sticking anymore. Well, can't work in my office today. It's flooded.
Man, there is just a good vibe happening today.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
You ready?
Yeah,
I'm ready.
Today's been an interesting day.
Today's been an interesting day?
Yeah.
What's been interesting about it?
Well, did you hear about that boat that ran into that bridge?
I did hear about that.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
And then I woke up this morning to an email from one of our pastors here, and there is a young man that needed prayer. He was in a bad car accident, and I was like, okay, so I kind of woke up to like this sad news about our friend in this car accident. And so I kind of started the day off like praying and doing all that stuff, and then hear that story of this bridge collapsing in Baltimore, and like,
yeah,
how many people? I don't know how many people are missing, but
yeah, I'm not sure. I can't remember the number.
I'm like, whoa, this day is like, I guess, kind of sad.
Kind of sad day so far.
Yeah, it is. So that's why I say today's been interesting.
Okay.
I think it's be good to talk about, because what should be our response to days like today, to situations like these? Mm. Like, what's the healthier response, or what's the proper response? How can we help? Mm. What can we do?
Yeah.
When you wake up to an email about a friend being in a really bad car accident because of a health scare, what do you do? How do you respond? What's the proper response to something like that? Obviously, I reply to the email, and I'm like, oh, praying for him right now.
Yeah,
and I was. Let's be honest. Like, let's actually pray for people.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. I was talking with one of the guys on staff here, Jason Allman, and we were actually at one of our small groups a couple weeks ago or last week. We were doing a whole lesson on prayer. And he brought this up. He said, how many times do we tell somebody or hear a prayer request and say, man, I'll be praying for you.
Exactly.
And that's really the last time that you ever think about it.
Exactly.
And he was talking about, he said, there's a habit that I've been trying to create in my life of, instead of saying, I'll be praying for you, he said, I changed my language and I said, can I pray for you right now? And he said, I just, whatever we're doing. And this was kind of cool, because I saw him do that like the week before he was teaching about doing this. Me and him were actually out hanging out together, and I was kind of just sharing my heart with him a little bit, and he said, man, can I pray for that right now? Let's stop and pray.
Yeah.
And we were just in the parking lot, and we were actually at Kensington Park in the parking lot of the boat ramp, and he was like, hey, let's stop and pray right now. And we just stopped everything. We're in the middle of the parking lot. He just laid his hands on me, and he just started praying. And then like a week later, he's like, yeah, I've been trying to change my response and say, man, I'll pray for you. Because I've found, and I think this is so true of so many of us, we have all the right intentions, and yet how often do we say, oh, I'll pray for you?
Yeah.
And we don't, or we maybe pray once and that's it. And I think getting to even just, that's a great place to start when maybe everything isn't going that great today.
Yeah.
A great place to start to say, I'm going to pause everything and actually begin to pray for this situation or this person or whatever's going on.
Yeah. And my pastors, Tim and Rhonda, went down to the hospital and visited this young man. And my mom, she's just kind of been texting me like, hey, you know, this is how he was doing. This is what the situation was like in the hospital room. You know, you can specifically be praying for this and for that and all these things. And, but it made me think like, what more can I do?
Yeah.
How, what else could I do? And I think when you think about it like that, you realize there's probably something else I could be doing. I just thought of like, why don't I text his sister?
Yeah.
Why don't I text his parents?
Right.
maybe I can just say, hey, would he like another visitor? More prayer.
Yeah.
A lot of times when people are in the hospital here, we love to take our worship leaders up to the hospital, like Minister Rob, and because he can bring his acoustic guitar. And especially if the person in the hospital really desires something like this, we like to bring in like the instruments and just we play and sing.
Yeah.
And I don't have the greatest voice in the world.
Right.
But like I can carry a note in a bucket a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we like to sing if they want something like that. And we just kind of like walk into the hospital room and want to bring life and light to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do that. Other times it's you're not able to get up to the hospital right away. Maybe your own day is like crazy too. Like you don't know what to do. You're like have all these things happening. You're like, oh no, I'd like to be able to get up to the hospital too. I'm not sure if I can make it. And you kind of start to feel like almost guilty.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For sure. I think that there is absolutely, I don't know what the right term is, but like minister guilt or like pastor guilt.
I think it goes beyond even being a pastor. Like what if it was just one of your friends or a family member or a relative, a cousin, all of a sudden you find out they're like in an accident and you think to yourself, what can I do? What should I do? And you actually will start to feel guilty for maybe not doing it a lot because you couldn't or
– Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But like you can feel that. It can be a real emotion that people carry, guilt for when stuff like this happens.
Absolutely.
And pastor guilt, like can I be doing more? Should I be doing more? How can I do more? And I heard a therapist say this and it was really good. I think it was a podcast I had recommended you to listen to.
Yeah, I listened to it. It was really good.
That Mentoring Moments podcast.
Yep,
do you remember there was something that therapist, that lady said, and I thought was really, really good. She said that you are human with limited time and resources.
Yep. Yep.
Remind yourself of that sometimes.
Yeah. And I think that's really good. It's a difficult truth sometimes to swallow because you want to be, at least for me, like I want to be there for everyone all the time. And sometimes you can't.
It's impossible.
Yeah, it's impossible. And it's difficult. I think about when I was in the hospital for a little bit, not even a full 24 hours, but I was in the hospital for about 12 hours-ish when I had the accident a few years ago in 2020 and with my bow and arrow. And even just a few days after that happened, I got out of the hospital, but I couldn't really do anything. I was on tons of pain medication that like I couldn't drive or go anywhere because of that.
It's just kind of like sit in your room and like La La Land because of the drugs.
Yeah, a little bit. And you know, I couldn't move my arm at all anyway and couldn't do anything. And just having people even like come in. I remember you and Pastor Evan came and just hung out with me for a little bit. And people were like brought us meals and stuff. And even like those little things of somebody coming over and dropping over a dinner or just coming and there was no way that it was super fun coming to hang out with me super drugged up just while I laid in bed, you know? Yeah. But like though even those like doing those little things like means so much to people in that moment.
I even feel compelled right now, Pastor Aaron, just to kind of stop and pray because there's probably other situations happening in the world with people, tragedies, stresses, pressures, you know, they need provision. They need a healing miracle maybe.
Yeah.
If you're listening or watching, we're going to do something. We actually – I don't know if we've ever done this in the podcast before.
I don't think we have. Let's do it. I love it.
We record a five-day-a-week radio show for 103.5 FM. It's like a 15-minute show. I feel like we've done praying a lot on that one.
Yep, absolutely.
But I feel like we haven't yet – this is podcast 83.
Yeah.
And we haven't yet prayed. So why don't we just stop for just a moment.
Let's do it.
And just – we're going to – I just feel compelled to pray for – just the craziness happening in our world right now. And you could just pray for it too. If you feel led to pray, go ahead as well.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Heavenly Father, God, we love you. And you, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we're alive.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord God, that you've given us this day. Mm-hmm. But Lord, there are many who need a touch from you right now.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we pray for our friend in the hospital. Lord God, would you touch him, heal him, strengthen him.
Yes, God.
Lord, his health issue, I pray that you would reach down right now from heaven and heal his body. Mm-hmm. Lord God, so he never has to experience this setback again. Mm-hmm. And Lord God, I think about his mom and dad and his sister. And the stress that they must be feeling right now and the worry, Lord God, I pray that the Prince of Peace would ride on in, Lord. And I pray that, Jesus, you would just begin to let them know that you are in control and that everything's going to be okay and that you're healing him right now. And Lord, we even think about this situation in Baltimore with this boat hitting this bridge and many people still missing, Lord. Mm-hmm. That I couldn't imagine if that was one of my family members or myself trapped somewhere. Lord, the true stress that must be going on right now. The situation is just wild, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray that you do what you do best, which is show up in miraculous ways and do miracles. And you make a way where there seems to be no way. And I pray that you would do that for all involved, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes, God, I just come, I'm thinking about all the people who are listening to this podcast right now, whether they're listening right when it comes out, or maybe even they're listening sometime in the future, and they're just sitting there and they know someone, or they themselves, they need a healing touch from you. They need a supernatural miracle work of God in their life. Lord, I just pray that you would begin right now, God, just to begin to move. God, begin to take over that space in their mind. Maybe it's that stress, that anxiety, that depression. God, would you bring peace and joy, God, to people? Would you begin to heal? God, would you just raise people up from their sick bed? God, would you supernaturally provide financial miracles for people? God, we know that you are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The same one who did miracles in the Bible. You're still doing them today. And Lord, we're just praying and asking and believing for the miraculous today in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. And I don't know when you're listening or watching this, but it is Easter week.
That's right. It's Easter week.
Let's see. We're recording this on a Tuesday, but the podcast is dropping on a Thursday, and that means the next day is Good Friday, and then there's Easter Sunday. And so it's Easter week, and I had come across this really powerful, theological, I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, I don't know what you call it either. It's a little...
You're looking up at it right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
I'm looking at it too.
I'm not sure what you call it, but it's kind of fun. It kind of mind-boggling. Maybe it really makes you think.
Yeah. I never heard anything like this before.
I don't know what it's called, but it's cool.
I agree. And since it's Easter week, I felt like me and Pastor Aaron could take the rest of the remaining time of the podcast and talk a little bit about Jesus.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
And I saw this post on Instagram, and this preacher, he was talking about Jesus on the cross and some of the things he was going through and that he went through leading up to the cross. They were like responses to sin.
Yeah.
And it was really powerful. I was like, this is really good stuff. I've never heard this before. How could I have gone to a church my whole life and never heard anything like this before?
Yeah. Let's read the whole thing, and then we can kind of break it down if we want to.
All right.
You want to do it?
Yeah. And I got it written on this post-it note in the corner of the room, so if our eyes are...
Yeah, if we're looking off camera and you're like, what are they staring at? We're staring at the list of things.
Yeah, it's a big... It's like our notes for the podcast. Okay. So Jesus dies on a cross, Pastor Aaron, audience, or a tree, some might say. He dies on a tree to restore, because original sin was things were stolen from a tree.
From a tree. That's right.
Wow. His hands were pierced because hands stole the fruit from the tree. His feet were pierced to signify and point to the first messianic prophecy ever, which involves the feet of Jesus crushing
the serpent's head.
Thank you.
Let's go.
His side is pierced because Eve came from the side of Adam, and Jesus' side being pierced is atonement for the temptation that Eve went through and succumbed to. The crown of thorns is placed on Jesus' head to restore and reverse the curse of the ground, which was cursed when Adam and Eve sinned.
Yeah.
Thorns and thistles will come from
the ground. Yeah.
That's restored too.
This was you. I walked in and read this, and I was like, "This is awesome."
I thought so too.
And I feel like it gets more awesome the more I read it.
I agree. And like, we could even like break down a little bit. We can break down some of these a little bit more, I thought, on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Talk about these a little bit more.
Let's jump right into this. The cross, the tree, restored because we stole from a tree.
Yeah.
And I love that because if you think about the Garden of Eden, I was doing some study for a message I was writing and went back and reread that creation story. And, you know, Genesis like 1, 2, and 3. And it's crazy. God creates the trees and the plants of the ground. He speaks them into existence. They grow up. And he says that it was good.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. And I think this is a representation of the inherent evilness of man now that we have the sin nature, is that what God spoke to as good, man took and made a torture weapon from.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like when God created the earth and he you know, had the trees grow up out of the ground, he said, man, this is good.
Yeah. Perfect.
And it's perfect.
That's
a
better translation.
Yeah.
When God said perfect.
Yeah, it was perfect. And then we took it and we turned it into a torture weapon.
Yeah.
Making it into the Roman cross. But then, this is the part where you're like, I can jump out of this seat. It fires me up. Jesus took, or God took, that same tree that he said was perfect, that we twisted and turned into a torture weapon, and he used that to restore us.
Yes.
To bring us back into perfection with him.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus did on the cross was he became the bridge that filled in the gap between mankind and God, because we were separated, right? Man and God could never be together because we had sinned. We were unholy.
Yeah.
And Jesus on the cross became the bridge, the atonement, the thing that made it possible for mankind to have communion with God again was Jesus on the cross, the thing that he had said was perfect that we took and twisted.
This missionary had come to our church years ago when I was like just a child, and he was a really awesome painter, and he painted our family this picture, and it was the cross was a bridge that went over this large gap. And people were walking on the cross, which was a bridge, into paradise.
Wow, that's so cool.
And the darkness under the bridge, and like there's like fire under the bridge. Under the cross. So like the cross is a bridge that allowed us to enter into the presence of God.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of like awesome little things here. I always think about this too, Pastor Aaron, and I bet that many of our audience has thought about this, and there's a great answer to it. But the question is, why in the world would God even put the trees there that he doesn't want us to eat from?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah.
And it's absolutely brilliant reason, too, why he did this.
Oh, yeah.
He does all this. He sets the two trees there. He says, you can eat from anything but these two trees. And he steps back and says, perfect. And then man sins by stealing fruit from the tree that they're not supposed to. How is that perfect? What? It's perfect because they were given the choice of free will.
Right. Come on.
And nothing is worthy to be, nothing can be worshipped unless, worshipped perfectly unless it's a choice.
Oh, yeah.
So God didn't just make robots.
Yeah.
to say, all right, worship me, serve me, love one another.
Yeah.
That's that. If he had made us robots and said, worship me, serve me, love one another, there's not even possible for you to make a mistake. You're just a robot. You're just artificial intelligence.
Right.
He wouldn't be able to step back and say, ah, perfect.
Right.
He would have stepped back and said, almost.
Yeah.
Almost there.
Almost.
Because then he's not truly being worshipped. He's just created robots.
Exactly.
No. True worship comes from choice.
Yeah.
So you've got to have the choice. You've got to have the ability for choice. It has to be there.
Yeah.
So they have to choose to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, just like we today have to choose not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
It's good.
We have to choose just like them. And if we do choose, then God says, ah, this is good.
Yeah.
So there you go. Then his hands are pierced because it's the hands that stole. So he's got to restore back. He's got to restore those hands. His feet were pierced. From the first messianic prophecy, because the first messianic prophecy says the fruit that or the son, you know, from your womb, the fruit from your womb.
Yeah, I was actually pulling up that prophecy right now.
All right,
read it. So I can get it.
I know.
It says, well, let me find it. God cursed the serpent. And okay, so this was God speaking to the woman, and he said,
God's got to speak to the snake, right? So God curses the snake.
God speaks to the snake and he says, cursed are you above all the livestock and the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and their offspring and your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel.
Ah.
There it is.
There it is. It's the foot.
It's the foot of the woman's offspring that will crush the head of the serpent.
And that's what Jesus did.
That's what Jesus did.
And on the cross.
Come on.
Which is pretty good, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
And his feet are pierced to, I would say, to just like, how do you even like put this into words? I don't have great words for it, but like, look, just look. Look at that. Look at his feet. And those same feet that you think are being destroyed right now, those are the feet that are going to that are crushing you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I think that's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
And Satan is crushed. He is. Now you Which is strange to think about because the Bible also says that the ruler of this world is Satan.
Yeah.
Satan, this is where we live is where Satan rules.
Right.
He's not crushed. He's ruling and he's reigning. But that's not true because the only way Satan truly has you is on when you die.
Right. Up until that moment.
Yes. Second, even up to the last second of your life.
You got a chance to get out.
You've got a chance to believe upon that heel that crushed Satan's head.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
And if you do that, even with your very last second of life, you realize, I need Jesus.
I need Jesus.
And you just have a flashback of your entire life. And you are just a terrible human being. Even your good works were cloaked in pride and...
Yeah.
Terror.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sin. Right? Because the Bible says even your good works are like filthy rags.
Yeah.
That's true. That nobody has ever done a good work for just doing a good work. No, you're doing it to get something in return, and that's not very good. So you're looking back in your whole life and you're like, oh my gosh, I need Jesus. And then you die.
Yeah.
Guess what?
You made it.
You made it.
Yeah.
Satan lost you.
Satan lost.
All right.
Come on.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by – that's what we mean by his head was crushed.
Yeah.
That his strength was taken away, that he is the ruler of this world. He walks around like a prowling, roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But if you believe in Jesus, he cannot devour you.
He can't devour you. That's right.
So that's pretty cool. His side is pierced. Eve comes from – the rib of Adam.
Yeah, this is one I've never seen anybody make this connection before.
Yeah.
And so those first three, I've heard people not say exactly like this, but kind of connect those dots before. I've never heard somebody connect these dots before. So that's pretty cool.
This is cool. His side is pierced, really pointing to the idea that Adam's side was pierced.
Yeah.
To for Eve to come out of, and that's an atonement right there.
Yeah.
For that temptation that we all fall prey to.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. And it makes me think of that verse. I think it's in one of the Corinthian letters. Pastor, you might know better than me where, or it could be in Hebrews, I can't remember, where somebody's making the connection between Adam and Christ. Adam, the first man, Christ, the last man.
Yeah.
It could also be in Romans. I don't know. It's somewhere in there. I think it's Pauline, but I could be wrong. But there's this verse that, or this chapter that compares Adam, the first man, to Christ,
it's definitely
the new
Pauline
man.
Book.
Yeah. And I just think of like Adam, the first man, through him, he sinned. Sin entered the world. There was that temptation from Eve. But then through Christ, redemption and atonement is offered to the world.
Yeah.
Man, if that doesn't speak to this little quote here, I don't know what does.
It's pretty cool to the Jesus fulfilled every prophecy that was prophesied about him during his 33 years of life. He fulfilled every prophecy. And when I read this on that social media post on Instagram, I was like, yeah, he was fulfilling like all, he was like restoring all and fixing and atoning.
Yeah.
All these sins, all these big wounds. He just was restoring and atoning all these things. His side is pierced, and just his side being pierced is just his way of saying forgiven.
Yeah.
All forgiven. Mm-hmm. Gone.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got the crown of thorns on his head.
Yeah.
This was really cool, I thought, too.
Yeah, I like this one.
Thorns. Now, God curses man. He curses Adam and Eve, he curses the snake, and he curses the ground.
Curses the ground.
And he says, because of this, the ground now is going to fight you back.
Yeah, the ground will produce thorns and thistles.
You got to work hard now to produce a harvest.
Yeah.
And it's gonna fill rocks now, and it's going to be dry, and it's going to produce thorns and thistles.
Yeah.
And this is, sucks to be you, bro. Like, oh my gosh. And it's so true.
Yeah.
That if anybody's ever had a landscaper around their house or a garden in their backyard.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. But I love that. Again, this kind of goes back to a similar thing I was talking about with the tree, with the thorns and the thistles, that God took that thing that we as mankind had twisted and turned into something evil, and he uses it to break the curse.
Yeah.
He uses it to bring redemption. And I love the crown, because what does a crown represent? A crown represents a kingdom.
Yeah.
A crown represents power and authority. And those soldiers twisted it and beat it into Jesus' head to mock him, to say, how you think you have power, right? It was in that same breath that they were hitting him. There's one of the Gospels, I think it's in Luke's account, where they're hitting him on the head with sticks while he's wearing the crown of thorns and yelling at him, prophesy, who hits you? It's this terrible moment of mockery, and they're mocking the idea that they think that this man thinks he has power. Mm. But what they're missing is that he has the truest form of power ever.
I heard somebody say this one time, and I might even mess up this quote, but true power is shown in restraint.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And they were mocking him about being not powerful.
Yeah, they thought he was powerless.
Yeah. And he was truly showing his power by having restraint.
Yeah, because just a few hours before, he told his disciples, I could call down 12 legions of angels to save me right now.
And that's shown, I don't know if you've had studied this out before, but in the book of John, and I do believe that this is only in the book of John, that it says that a big battalion of soldiers come to arrest Jesus with Judas.
Yeah.
And they say that, though I forget the exact word used to describe the group, but it's like the same word used for like legion.
Okay.
Which means they were estimating, and I don't know, but the word that John uses is 1,000 soldiers came to arrest Jesus.
Yeah.
And when they are looking for Jesus, then they say, where is Jesus of Nazareth? And Jesus says, I am he.
I am he?
Yeah. It says that the soldiers fell down.
They fall down. Yeah.
And if John is saying 1,000 soldiers came to arrest him, and when Jesus said, I am he, 1,000 soldiers fell down, that's power.
Yeah. That's serious power.
That's what the book of John says. You can go ahead and read it for yourself. I think it's probably something like John 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And he's like, go ahead, read it. That's, he's got power.
Oh.
He's not lacking any power.
No way.
But they're mocking him and they're tapping on his crown of thorns. Oh, and they're destroying him, destroying his body. But they couldn't touch his true power.
Come on.
He truly was on the inside.
They
couldn't touch it, and they never did. And what they did was actually they brought out his full power.
Yeah. Yeah, because when they put him to death, it says that Jesus had to die so that he would be buried to fulfill all those prophecies. And when he came back from the dead, you know what he said after he came back from the dead in Matthew 28? He said, all authority on heaven and earth have been given to me. That's some serious power. And it was by them putting him to death that he got, or not that he got, but that he showed and demonstrated what real love and real power looks like.
Man, he's mighty to save. He forgives. He cleans the slate. He welcomes you home into heaven for eternity. A wonderful Savior.
Oh, yeah. And
it's been great to be with you today, audience, on this Easter week.
Easter week.
Whew. Yeah. And it's been great to be with you once again on YouTube. I hope that you've been watching. Let's see here. If you got questions, don't forget to put a question in the comment section below, or you can email us a question, lucas@ignited.org.
Aaron@ignited.org.
And I think here in just a week or two, we'll have our mailbag podcast where we'll answer some questions. We've already got some questions in. I'm excited to answer some of them.
Yeah, send us in some more.
Absolutely, send us in some more. Hopefully we can get to them. If not, we'll be back next week, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus.
How's everybody doing today?
Come on, somebody. Nothing's sticking anymore. Well, can't work him off today. It's flooded.
Man, there is just a good vibe happening today.